My past has not defined me, destroyed me, deterred me, or defeated me. It has only strengthened me. This is Dr. Steve Maraboli, and the human experience starts now. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're watching and listening to The Human Experience. I'm Dr. Steve Maraboli. Welcome back, folks. It's been such a long time. Since I've been inspired to do this kind of show, that I've been inspired to reach out and expand again in my undying quest to touch as many lives as I can while I can. You know, you go through your ups and downs, and you go through there was a time for it was I want to say it was like 7 years. It was about 7 years that I did three shows a week. It was 2 hours a show. It was 6 hours a week that for 7 years that I just talked to the who's who, talked about everything there was, and I remember the day that I just woke up one morning and said, you know, I think I've said everything I want to say. What else do you want me to say? And I stopped. I didn't want to be that guy. So I stopped, and now I'm back. Here, almost 2 years later, we're back with episode number 649. And so thank you so much. We're rebuilding our radio show Facebook page. You'll be able to watch this live on Facebook. For those of you who are listening to this on iTunes, if you want to participate in the show, the live video feed is on Facebook. That's facebook.com/authorstevemaraboli, and you can interact live. I'm watching the interaction while also doing this show. If you're just downloading it on iTunes, thank you so much for listening to the show. If you ever want to watch the video, the only place the video will be available is on our Facebook page, both live and archived. I want to talk today. I think that when thinking about how to reestablish this show, did I want to talk to guests again? Did I want to have all those people on again? I wasn't sure. I might have some guests, but I thought just a small 1 hour show that we can go. One of the ideas of the show was to call it Steve Maraboli Deeper. In other words, taking some of the quotes that are usually one or two sentences long and going a little deeper with it. And I think that we will kind of take that for part of the show. I want to do that for part of the show. And at the same time, I want to get to as much feedback as possible. So if you have a question and you're watching live on Facebook, feel free to ask. I'll get to as many as I can get to as I see them coming. So that's been successful in our couple of test runs that we took. So I want to talk today about one particular quote that tends to be a popular one. The full quote is, "As I look back on my life, I realize that every time I thought I was being rejected from something good, I was actually being redirected to something better." I want to talk today about the idea that you're not rejected, you're redirected. How often has this happened? How often have you lost connection with what you wanted? You had this attachment to something that you saw happening a certain way, and it didn't happen. Or you tried really, really tough. You tried hard. You tried your hardest. You did your best, and you were still seemingly denied. It's so demoralizing, sometimes physically, not just emotionally, but sometimes physically painful to experience something like this. So I want to talk about it, whether it's business, personal, whatever it may be. Talk about the idea that you're not rejected, but redirected. You know, we often have this diluted sense of self. We don't see the magnitude of the greatness inside of us. So as a result, most people live within the parameters of the lowest part of their life. They dwell in the basement of their capability. The issue is when you have a small picture of yourself, it distorts the size of the problems and challenges you face. Now, I know that summertime Long Island comes around and I'm like a kid. I'm like a kid, literally. I'm like a child. I go flashbacks to what I was like in high school, and I'm ready to cut classes, except for now I'm 40, and there's no classes to cut, but there's work to cut, there's appointments to cut. And the second it's a beautiful, hot summer day, all I can picture is the sand between my toes, and I want to go out there, and I want to run into the water. And I remember this as a kid. I remember this as a kid, just being so excited and how big the waves were. It's the roaring Atlantic Ocean, and I can just remember these waves being so much taller than I am, so much, and just so much fun and play in the water for hours, just fantastic. And when I go now, I still see myself saying, you know, this is great and this is amazing. But weren't the waves bigger when I was younger? I remember the waves being huge. And they were, because I was half the size. Who I was and the size I was changed my perspective. They were huge. They were bigger than I am, taller than I am. Most of the time, they're not anymore. Most of the time, they're not anymore. Just as much fun. I still... On a warm summer day, I feel like cutting, instead of class, cutting work and going to the beach. But when you have a small picture of yourself, it distorts the size of the things around you. As a kid, it's exciting and it's fun. As an adult, if you maintain this small picture of yourself, it distorts the size of the problems and challenges you face. A lot of your issues isn't that your problems are so big, it's that you see yourself as so small. So you become immediately intimidated and even more easily deterred from following your desired success. So you look at mistakes as finals and failures and as unworthiness. You see a small you and a big everything else. The vision of yourself is distorted. And because of this, the efficiency of your journey is burdened. I don't know about any of you, but I know that this is for me. I can't tell you how many times the vision of myself was distorted and therefore the efficiency of my journey was burdened. So much, and you know, there's a concept in behavioral sciences and psychology. There's a concept that called the egocentric paradigm. And this is the idea that nobody touches actual reality. And this is something that they discuss. That nobody touches actual reality. That in fact, 100% of everything you experience, 100% of everything in your life, 100% of it happens in your brain. 100% happens in your mind. It's called the egocentric paradigm. Well, let everyone argue about that. But I've noticed in my own life that how I see myself is what matters. How I see myself is what matters. How I see myself determines how I see anything else. You've seen me right before, how you treat yourself determines how, but how I see myself determines how I see everything else. If I see myself small, If I see myself small, I will see something else bigger than it may be, because I'm seeing myself smaller than I am. The vision of yourself is distorted, and the efficiency of your journey is burdened. But I want to remind you things that I remind myself. You're a reflection of greatness. I don't want you to lose sight of that, and I don't mean it just as wordplay. I mean it sincerely. If we were taking an evolutionary biologist point of view, you're a descendant of the people who won. We are here because our ancestors reproduced. The winners reproduced. The ones who survived reproduced. The ones who were able to attract the others, the one who were, you know, they're getting their moves on, the ones who were good at the flirting and the good at the hunting and the good at, those are the ones that reproduced, and we're their direct descendants. So you're a reflection of greatness, not just spiritually, not just as wordplay, but you're actually a descendant of the victors, the people who won, the people best suited for survival. So don't lose sight of that. Another thing, there have been countless challenges that you thought were bigger than you. I know this is true for me as well. So many times I thought this was it for me. So many times I thought I can't get past this. How many times have you thought that? And 100% of those times I was wrong. And so were you, because you're still here. You thought these things were bigger than you, but you're still here. They haven't defeated you. They haven't stopped you. And even if you didn't realize, they had to bow to your innate superiority. They had to bow. They knew they weren't stronger than how you were built. You were built for this. You come from the winners. Everyone who ever bet against you was wrong. You ever think of that? Anyone who ever bet against you was wrong. The people who have bet against me were wrong. How great is that? How great is it that you have a history of victory? Oh, I mean it. Every time I thought I was being rejected from something good, I was actually being redirected into something better. That's right, Julie. We were built for this. Keep your dream alive. Keep your relationships alive. Keep your career alive. Keep your goal alive. Alive. Live big. You have not been rejected. You have been redirected. Delayed but not denied. You are greater than you can ever imagine. And the only way you see this is to go through it. That's the message in the mess. That you are greater than you can ever imagine. I know that the resilience that I've shown in my own life is greater than I ever imagined. So let your journey be fueled, and let your body be nourished by your victorious past, and move forward in the directions of your magnificent dreams. Don't forget that you are worthy. Don't forget that you are great. Don't forget that you have been designed for success. And then live accordingly. And don't worry about the fear. Don't worry about the doubts. Don't do that. That's all a part of this system. That's all a part of that design. Whoever you think designed it. Whoever you think designed it, it doesn't matter. It's all a part of it. People will tell you that fear and doubt, they kill courage and faith. But that's wrong. That's myopic. That's very short-sighted to see that. If you pay attention, you'll see that fear and doubt, they don't kill it. They birth it. You cannot have courage unless you have fear. You can't have one without the other. Courage exists because fear exists. You cannot have doubts. You cannot have faith, unless you have doubts. Faith comes in spite of the doubt, but you need one for the other. Fear and doubt are not the murderers of courage and faith. They are the parent of courage and faith. Don't you dare sell yourself short. You're not rejected. You're redirected. Pay attention to that, where you could apply that in your life. Pay attention to where you could have used that in the past. Then have a funeral for that moment. Take what you can from that so that you can get rid of that regret, get rid of that pain, get rid of that holding on. It's always time for a spring cleaning. I don't like the sense of spring cleaning because that's once a year. You have funerals for every day. I have a funeral for every day. Every day. I might seem like an Etch-a-Sketch for some people. For those of you old enough to know what an Etch-a-Sketch was. And I have a funeral for every single day. I take what I can learn from the day, the wins, the losses, the happies, the loves, the rejections, the new friendships, the old betrayals, whatever could happen in the course of a day. Everything that's ever bad happened or good happened has happened in the course of a day, right? So anything could happen in the course of a day. And I take that and I have a funeral for each day. So take a look in your life where you can apply this idea of not rejected, instead redirected. Take what you can learn from that event, from that experience. Let go of the grudge. Let go of the other participants that aren't responding or sad or sorry enough for you. Free yourself from all those burdens. Free yourself from all those burdens and allow yourself to let go of the idea of rejection and to pay attention to where perhaps that redirection has led you. It's finding that message in the mess. It's a challenging thing to do, but it's a great habit to build. Folks, you're listening to The Human Experience. I'm Dr. Steve Maraboli. Don't forget to check out our site, stevemaraboli.com. And if you want to participate in this show, you can watch and listen live on Facebook. That's facebook.com/authorSteveMaraboli. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. And I know that if you're listening through iTunes, thank you so much. And if you want to participate live, the video and the archive of any videos are found on our Facebook page. We're talking about the idea of not being rejected, but instead redirected. And I want to take some feedback from those watching online. What's up, Facebook? I know you've sat through a couple of these warming up for this, making sure that the video was right and that the sound is right. And I appreciate all of your support. Our Facebook community means so much to me. I'm starting to get to know some of you, getting to see some of your faces pretty often. So thank you so much for all of this. I'm going to head over to the Facebook board right now. If anyone wants to participate in this conversation, just let me know. Just post right there on the video and I'll get to as many as I can. Sue Worth, is it? Sue asks the very light question. So what's the meaning of life, Steve? Wow. Deep. I don't know. And neither does anyone else. However, I think for me, For me, I think that it's about refining, improving, and enhancing yourself. I think that it's about impacting other people. I think that it's about experiencing the fullness of what I call this show, the human experience. I think that it's not about the just the negativity, or not just about worrying about the afterlife or the past lives and all these. I don't think it's about that, because the people who tend to be about that are miserable. I really think it's about impacting and inspiring and finding yourself a better version every day. I feel that, like Kara saying, Kara, that's a great way to say it. Self-evolution, enhancement, the revealing your greatest self every day. I think that's what the closest thing to the purpose could be. I'm not sure. For me, everyone's purpose could be something different. What I find in my life is that when I stray away from that, when I stray into a more selfish, narcissistic way, I'm miserable, and I make everyone around me miserable. So I feel like if I stay on that path of personal refinement, and I stay on that path of staying focused on impacting and inspiring others, that's when I'm happiest, that's when the people around me are happiest, and that's when I'm able to make such a great difference in this world. And for me, that's what my purpose is. Thanks for the question. Thank you, everyone who's chiming in. Living in the now. That's a good one, Deb. I mean, we're always living in the now. It's just that some of us revolt against it. You're always living in the now anyway, because you can't touch yesterday and you can't touch tomorrow. So everyone's living in the now. Just some people are deluding themselves that they have any control over anything else, and because of that, they're missing everything else. Hey, Sarah, always great to hear from you. Thank you so much. And Ruthie, thank you as well. Hey, I appreciate everyone who shares our posts. Really means so much to me that you do that. That's how we build this Facebook page, is when you press share, when you press the share button is how we build our page. How do you, Irina? I'm trying to get to your question, but this thing, I'm trying to, this thing moves so fast. Irina says, "How do you overcome being rejected for so long? I keep coming back to the past and cannot get over with forgiveness." Well, at least you identify it. So you're halfway there. And then when you realize, how do you get over becoming rejected so long? It's that the same rejection keeps happening. It's only happened once. It's just that as you relive it, it keeps happening. But the reality of it is, the rejection is your perception of something. It's the perception of something. I always find it so interesting when you feel the Back to the Future. Oh, a side note, folks, I'm a nerd. I don't know if I've mentioned that on several occasions. I'm a nerd. And while unlike a lot of my family, I'm not a Star Wars nerd, but I am a Back to the Future nerd. And we recently went through the anniversary of when Marty McFly went to the future. It was October 21st. And so there was all kinds of Back to the Future trivia, and I thought I knew most things. But one of the things I didn't know was that this script itself had been rejected over 40 times. Back to the Future, arguably one of the most successful movie trilogies or series ever. Rejected over 40 times. And They were speaking with the creator, and he was saying, "Yeah, we it was the Hollywood organizations. They didn't want it because they said no one's going to want a time traveling car. Time travel's not a thing right now. Time travel's not a thing right now, and nobody's going to want to see this movie. And it's a little too light. It's kind of good spirited. It's not too combative. It's not vulgar. It's really not for us." They said, "Maybe try Disney." So they took it to Disney, and Disney said, "It's a good movie, but we don't like that in some of the scenes, the mom, the in the past, the mom is kind of flirting with her son and not realizing it." And for those who know the movie, you see where that happens. And it's kind of like an awkward, funny parts of the movie, but not a, I guess not a, it sounds weird, but it's not a weird part. It's an awkward, funny, haha, I'm time traveling part of the movie. And so, but Disney, because of that, because they didn't want the parts of the mom flirting with the son, Disney didn't accept it either. So eventually they had to go on their own route and pick up some new, bigger names and get it accepted by a studio who wanted to change its name, continuing rejections. And then they kind of just left the movie for dead and said, "All right, you guys just do it, fine. It'll come out and whatever. We're done with this." And turns out the rejections and re turned into a redirection that led to arguably the most one of the most successful movie trilogies ever, and really catapulted many people's careers because of it. On a much smaller scale, I can't tell you how many times I had pictured something and mapped it out and felt rejected. How many times I felt that I had failed because something didn't go the way that I wanted it to go, or that I had felt that I felt like I worked to get there. My books was one of them. When I set out to release, I had these notes. It was just notes. I'm always a note taker to this day. I still take endless notes, and it's just what I do. I write down thoughts and then I refine them, and they eventually become what you all call my quotes. But I had been doing that since I was a teenager. And my first book, Life, the Truth, and Being Free, was just that. It was a notebook. It was a notebook filled with notes. And one day, someone who came over read it, and they said, "Why isn't this a book? You write like fortune cookies. Like you're like a fortune cookie writer. Like this is amazing." And so eventually, I let them. I said, "Oh, I'll release this as a book." And so the amount of times I was rejected, not just them saying no, but then them saying yes and seeing these contracts, these book publishing contracts, which were an insult to me at the time, of how they wanted to take advantage of a new author. At the time, I had a little bit of a community, of a following of people who are reading my stuff. So I didn't really need it, and I've never been about the money, ever, ever, ever. So I felt insulted and I felt rejected. And every single time that they rejected me further, and they would say, "Go publish it on your own then. You'll see how hard it is. You'll never compete with the big authors. You'll never, no one's ever going to read these. No one's going to know who you are. You're not putting it out there. This is the game, Steve. You have to play the game. So we'll take your book. We're going to add different components to it. We don't think that you say this enough. You have to use these magic words, and we don't say that enough. So we're going to have our team help write your book. And we'll send you to the photographers. We'll have it all masked. We'll make sure." They even write in the bigger book contracts. Did you all know this? I'm gonna spoil this for some people. They even write in on your advance how many copies they're gonna buy at independent bookstores. So they take it out of your advance, and so like you owe them that money. But they try to manipulate by buying all those copies. They try to manipulate those New York Times bestseller kind of numbers. So they'll allot X amount of thousands of dollars because they'll buy it in those little independent bookstores. So in essence, you're buying your own book or thousands of copies of it so that you can end up on that bestseller list. Like the most vanity, ridiculous things. So I felt rejected by seeing this. This is the process of these major publishers. Like, nothing's real. This is you're telling me that at the end of the day, I'll have a book that I didn't completely write, pictures that are completely touched up of me. You'll have these words that I wouldn't ever say, and numbers of books that are sold that I know came out of you guys buying them. So I said no. I said no. And as they continued to reject me, it was like a stabbing. Every single time from then on, the rejection feels like a stabbing. But like anything else, Irina and anyone else listening, I changed the way I look at it. Because fast forward, I did publish myself. I did start my own publishing company. I did start in a different parameter, a company that celebrates the artist, not the company itself. A company that puts this out there, and you can say every book, all the books that have my name on it, I wrote 100% of those words. Like it, don't like it, love it, life-changing, you can't stand it, you gave it away, you sold it, you wish you never bought it, whatever it is, I'm comfortable. Because 100% of that book is the way I saw it, we designed it, and I wrote every single word. And side note, there isn't a day that goes by that it doesn't outsell most of those gurus. There isn't a day that goes by that they don't outsell Chicken Soup for the Soul and those type of books. We barely ever talk about it, barely ever promote it, and it outsells them every single day. I changed the way I looked at it. The stabbing of rejection wasn't the stabbing of rejection. Instead, I looked at like what a sculptor might do. What a sculptor might do is he takes this block and he chisels away to release the greatness that he sees. And that's how I view rejection now. It's not that you're stabbing. It's that you're chiseling away. The fact that it hurts me is a sign that I have an unhealthy attachment to your behavior. I don't need that. You're not rejecting me. You're redirecting me. You're not stabbing me. You are chiseling away, more and more revealing the greatness at my core, revealing the greatness within, and making me unstoppable in every place I turn my direction to, every place I turn my attention to. You're not rejected. You're redirected. You were designed for greatness. Let those rejections be something you see that people chiseling away. How would your life be different? How would your life be different if you looked at rejection as a chiseling away? As if you looked at the losses as redirections, if you looked at those messes as messages, if you start celebrating the struggles because of the strength, how would your life be different? How would your life be different if you felt fear and say, now I'm prepared? Fear is a prerequisite for courage. I don't feel fear because I'm not good enough. I feel fear because I'm ready for courage. Doubts don't mean I don't have faith. I cannot have faith unless I have doubt. Doubt is a prerequisite for faith. Anyone who tells you they don't have doubt, they're missing something else. Anyone who tells you they don't have fear, they're missing something else. Life is a series of ups and downs, ups and downs. It's like a pulse. If you don't have the ups and downs, check your pulse. Life is a series of ups and downs, and sometimes you feel rejected and you're not. If you just give yourself the opportunity, if you just give yourself the opportunity, you may see that message in the mess. You may see that you were chiseled, not stabbed, and that it's helping release the greatest version of you ever. Folks, you're listening to The Human Experience. I'm Dr. Steve Maraboli. Don't forget to check out our website, stevemaraboli.com. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram. If you want to watch this live, if you're listening on iTunes, thank you. And if you want to watch when we do it live, you can find our live feed on Facebook. That's facebook.com/authorSteveMaraboli. And it's live, and you can interact like all these lovely people. Folks, I'm going to do some more feedback. Are you still with me? Is everyone still with me? Have I bored you yet? Sometimes I can bore people. Have I bored you yet? Let's do this. We got another 15 or so minutes. If you're with me, hit me up. Facebook. Let's ask some questions. We're talking about being redirected and not rejected. Let's keep going. You are a legend, Steve. Wow, thank you. Not yet, but I'm on my way. I won't stop. I'm telling you, I'm just getting started. I'm just getting started. I'm scrolling down looking for questions. Oh, thank you all so much. Wow, what great feedback. What great feedback. I saw a great question before, but it went so fast, and I'm sorry I missed it. Missed it. Oh, here it is. How to stop being in fear of rejection feelings? How do you live courageously vulnerable? Here's the thing. It's happening anyway. I think that's something that helps you to understand. It's happening anyway. All of it's happening anyway. You control nothing. You control nothing. You're in charge of yourself. And that's tough enough. Like that's how you stay focused, that's how you stay positive, and that's how you stay courageously vulnerable, as you say. It's happening anyway. So you don't control the events that happen in life. You control how you respond to it. You control the label you place on it. Don't forget that's what letting go is. Letting go isn't going in the past and changing the event for better. You can't. Instead, it's placing a different label on that event. It's looking back at your divorce, let's say, and saying, okay, I can't change all these nasty things. I can't change how I behaved. I can't change how they behaved. I can't change this or that situation. But how I'm looking at it hurts me. And let me dissect it so that I can take the good out of it. Oh, I don't like that. Folks, everyone in the book of their life, everyone has chapters we don't want to read out loud. You don't have to read it out loud to have that funeral. You look at it, You see what you can learn. You, more importantly, the things that you can control. The part that you can control, which is you, your own behavior. That's the only thing. So it makes it pretty easy. You take that out and then you let it go. You let it go by placing a different label on it. This is what I learned. This is where I'm sorry. This is where I forgive myself. This is where I forgive them. And a lot of times forgiving someone else is just loving yourself enough to move on. Believe me, the person who wrongs you will never be as sorry as you are hurt. Never happens. Those two never meet. They're never as sorry as you are hurt. It's never that way. Spare yourself a wasted time. Instead, forgiveness is a reflection of loving yourself enough to move on. So let go by placing a different label on that event. After natural disasters, I remember Hurricane Katrina, where we went down in Hurricane Katrina, and people were devastated by that event. And you would talk to people, and it would be the same event. Wind and rain came and knocked down my house. You'd have one person who said, oh, my life's over, this is it, I can't believe it. And then you'd have the next person that says, oh, I'm going to pick up the pieces, I'm going to do my best. Who knows? If it wasn't for this storm, I would have never gotten my kids out of this neighborhood. If it wasn't for this storm, I would have never been forced to go get another job, never been forced to change my life. So perspective is everything. Your agreement with reality. Don't forget this, folks. Your agreement with reality defines your life. Your agreement with reality defines your life. So letting go, just like courageous vulnerability, is just the idea, the acknowledgement that I don't control it anyway. If someone calls me when I'm done with this show, and someone calls me and just feels like being mean to me, I don't control that. I control how I react or respond to it. I control how I behave. I don't control someone else's behavior. My own behavior is difficult enough. Free yourself from those burdens. There's Jessica. Jessica writes, if not for Katrina, I would have never moved to New York. And look at all the good you're doing here, Jessica. I know you, Jessica. You do great stuff here. So if not for Katrina, not only would you have not moved to New York, but you wouldn't have been able to impact the people you impact here. Some of the greatest messages come out of the greatest messes. Sarah, my buddy Sarah, what are your thoughts on saying that you can't make someone want it? They have to make it happen themselves. But yet, they have asked for your help in certain situations or a goal. Sarah, yeah, good luck with that. Here's how that works. This is where that whole thing of don't be an ask-hole. I know so many of them. I get asked for endless advice, and I think I give pretty good advice. I am kind of famous for it. But people still ask and do the opposite of what I said and then find themselves in a situation. Listen, behavior is math. Behavior is math. If you 1 + 1 = 2, right? So behavior plus behavior equals this. If you want something else, you have to change the equation. So people will ask your advice, and then you give them the advice, and they don't follow it. That's the way it goes. But more specific to your point, Sarah, is, and you seem like you're in a position, I know that I've mentioned to you that your posts often inspire me, and I see that you have that close connection with your family, and I imagine with your friends as well. You have to free yourself from that. So in other words, I'll do this show, and I'll talk to my clients, and I will give you my best. Folks, you're hearing right now the best Steve from 2 to 3 p.m. I'm the best Steve I can be right now. You're hearing it. I'll give advice. I'll give insight. If I think something's funny, I'll say it, whatever it is. And then this stops, and I won't spend a second saying, I really hope they followed this. I'm not going to do it. I spent too many years doing that. I have learned that you sow the seeds, you throw those seeds out there, and when they land on fertile soil, something great will grow. Sometimes they don't. Maybe they'll land in fertile soil when I throw different seeds next show. Maybe they'll read something else. Maybe they'll read someone else. Who knows? Who knows? I don't know. I don't control it. All I know is I control this dude right here, and I'm going to be the best version of me. So, Sarah, when dealing with people who are genuinely trying to get your help or dealing with the ask-holes of the world, all you have to do from yourself, if you are in a position, this goes for anyone in a position, anyone in a position to help and inspire and empower others. We see how difficult it is to just impact and inspire ourselves. So you can't make someone, you could offer them the tools, you can give them insight on how you got there, but you can't make them, and you shouldn't want to make them. You want the best for them, and if they choose it, awesome. And if they don't, I still love you, I'm still here, but I can't choose it for you. I can't choose it for you. And so that's how that works. And you can free yourself from it knowing that you look at yourself and you see how challenging it is for yourself. When how challenging it is to get up, to go to the gym, to go running, to not eat a cheeseburger and instead have something healthy, or to not react in an angry way, but instead respond in a loving way. You see how difficult all of that is. And that's just your own behavior. You want to behave that way and it's difficult. You want to be at the gym every day and it's difficult. You want to eat healthy every day and it's difficult. You want to always be at your best and it's difficult, and that's you. What chance do you have of changing someone else if it's challenging enough to deal with you? Fortunately, the way that this universe is structured and the way that you're designed, that's all you're in charge of is you. We give ourselves the delusion that we're in charge of anyone else. You're not in charge of anyone else. You can impact others with your words and with your experience and with your example, but you can't control them. Ever. So you feel free yourself from that, and that enables you to use that energy to make sure you're at the best functioning version of yourself. And that's a great question. Thank you. Folks, you're listening to The Human Experience. I'm Dr. Steve Maraboli. Don't forget to check out stevemaraboli.com. All info on our books, our coaching, and if you ever want to have me come speak at your company or private event, go to stevemaraboli.com. Also, we're on Facebook. That's facebook.com/author Steve Maraboli. That's where you'll watch this show happening live. If you're listening on iTunes, this show has a live video feed for me and all of my Facebook community. And you can check that out at facebook.com/author Steve Maraboli. Twitter, we're Steve Maraboli. Instagram, we're Steve Maraboli. And again, thank you so much for listening. Got a few more minutes for feedback. Feedback is at Facebook for those watching live. Thank you so much, everybody. Let's keep going with feedback. Ruthie with a powerful Steve quote. Sometimes happiness is pizza. That's legit. That's legit. That might be the most profound thing I've ever said. That's legit. Let's see. I'd love to visit Montreal. I can't give my lecture in French, but I'd love to visit if invited. It's always Allie. It's absolutely difficult. It's absolutely difficult. But when you say you can only pray for the best version of me, you can't. That you can be. The only thing you can do is be. The only thing you can do is be that. The idea that it's a very esoteric idea that we are our thoughts. And it's very esoteric because I used to feel that same way. The younger version of me I don't want to say more spiritually inclined, because I think I'm more spiritual now, but I'm more of a realistic spiritualist now than one that is too caught up in the intrinsics of that kind of world. You know what I mean? You all know what I'm talking about. But I used to think that too, your life being a printout of your thoughts. And as you think, that's what you attract. I used to think that as well. I used to think that as well. And to a degree, it's true. But in the reality of our three-dimensional world, we go back to the Einstein quote I gave the other day, nothing happens until something moves. So you aren't just what you think. Because if that was the case, I don't know too many people who are like, oh, I'm so glad I'm struggling paycheck to paycheck. Those people are thinking, I want to be more financially secure. I want to be a millionaire. I want a new car. So there's a lot of people thinking, they're not happy. Wow, I look really, really overweight in the mirror. This is amazing. There's a lot of people who think, I want to be healthier, think, I want to take more time to, I want to break out of these negative habits. There's a lot of people who think that. But unless you act upon it, unless you act upon it, I do think prayer helps, just like I think meditation helps, just like I think thoughts help. But without action, they're just thoughts. Without action, they're impotent without action. There's no, I mentioned the word impotence. Let's put this on a sexual perspective. You can think about intimacy, you can think about sex, and you can think about impregnation. But none of it can happen unless you act upon it. And your life is the same way. It's that same dance of the thoughts and their relationship to your behavior. Maybe that's, I grew up Catholic. My parents are Chilean and Italian. No chance of two things. One, not growing up Catholic. And two, not moving my arms when I talk. So, and they teach you in this, you know, the Lord's Prayer, I think they call it, the Our Father who are in heaven, that thing. I always found it so interesting that prayer is really talking about how you make things on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, making your thought process, your intentions in alignment with the on earth, this dimensional part. That's the whole idea. I always found it so fascinating that the main character in this, being one being called Jesus, the main character, I always found it so fascinating that people were so stuck on these books and what they said and who quoting what scripture and what version of what and this. And they were always telling me about the salvation and I was dependent on this dude, Jesus, and all this stuff. And I always found it so interesting because I thought, wait a second, and this always got me in trouble in CCD and going to religion school. Because I would ask rational questions and I would say, hold on a second. If my salvation was based on my ability to read and understand scripture, why wasn't Jesus an author? Instead, this dude never wrote anything. Not a thing. He wrote in the sand once, but you don't know what it is because that wasn't about what he wrote. It was about why he wrote. He never did anything. 100% of his ministry was action. Was behavior, 100%. Even when his disciples asked him, hey, dude, how do we be like you? How do we impact the world like you? How do we change lives like you? He said, ask and you will be given, seek and you shall find, ask, seek, knock, and the door will be open, right? He gave three examples when they said, how do we do what you do? He said, ask, seek, knock. When asked, this dude gave three verbs, ask, seek, knock. The whole universe is based on this. The whole universe is based on this idea. So yes, prayer is important. Meditation is important. Thoughts are important. So that's inward communication with self. But your action is outward communication with this universe. Outward communication with our lives. So it's great that I think that I love you. But we move forward in our relationships when I show you that I love you. It's great that I love, that I want to help others, but it shows and manifests in our world when I act upon it. So yes, prayer, meditation, those type of things, good for inward communication. But if you want it to be seen and created in our reality, you must act Like Einstein said, nothing happens until something moves. So we remember, folks. So we remember what this show was about. Every time I thought I was being rejected from something good, I was actually being redirected to something better. How do you see yourself? What's your agreement with reality? Is it that your problems are so big? Or do you see yourself as so small? Were you around the wrong people? Were you married to or in a relationship with someone who told you long enough how you weren't good enough, how you all these things that were wrong with you, who called you enough names that you eventually started believing it and now have a diluted sense of self? The good news is, if that's true, there's nothing that says you have to behave that way today just because you behaved that way yesterday. And that today can find you with a new sense of self, a new sense of power. And I don't have to lie to you. I don't have to sprinkle a bunch of woo-woo on you. I can tell you that the proof of your greatness is that you're still here. You thought it was going to destroy you. You thought that was it for you. You thought you wouldn't see another day. You thought it and you were wrong. Just like everyone else who bet against you. You have a history of victory. Don't you dare apologize for how bad ass you are. You're here to stay. You're here to live each day to the fullest. And at the end of that day, give it its proper death. Don't let tomorrow be birthed until you killed off today, until you gave it its funeral. Let me take what was good, let me leave what was bad, and let tomorrow find me a better, faster, stronger, evolved version of myself. Do it every single day, and you will watch your life come alive. You'll watch your relationships come alive, and you'll be able to stand up proud every single day, knowing that you are unapologetically you. And while you're doing that, don't forget that this New Yorker loves you. Folks, you're listening to The Human Experience. I'm Dr. Steve Maraboli. Don't forget to check out stevemaraboli.com. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. And don't forget, you could watch this show live on facebook.com/author Steve Maraboli. Go be you. I'll be me. We'll see you next time.